Awesome. Awesome. Well, it is so good to be back with you guys. Thank you all for praying for the team that was in Israel. I can't tell you what we did. It's just been too much. But it was a great trip, and I want to encourage you, Lord willing, if I can get it all together, we'll show a little quick PowerPoint on Sunday morning. But what an amazing journey. We went from Tel Aviv down to Jaffa to the Sea of Galilee, and then we dropped down toward the Dead Sea, and then we ended up in Jerusalem for about 4 or 5 days, and we probably visit about 25 to 30 plus different sites, and it was just an amazing time. And so if you get an opportunity to talk to any of the people that were a part of the group, I'm pretty sure they're going to tell you some amazing testimonies as well. But listen, I'm going to prepare you now. You have 2 years to save up if you want to go, okay? 2025 will be our next scheduled trip, and so we'd love for you to join us in that. I'm going to, huh?
How much to save?
Well, this last trip was 4,000 plus.
So,
yeah. No worries. Let me get this out of the way real quick. All right. Well, listen, we're in Exodus chapter 5. We're going to pick up where Matt left off, and I hope and pray that all of you were blessed by the guest speakers as well as the guest worship. Did you guys enjoy them?
Yes.
Awesome. Praise the Lord. You know, I think it was the first Sunday, Natalie, who was here, was a part of the church that my daughter's at in California. And then Miriam was the one that was a part of Las Vegas, and now she's in Texas, of all good places, right? Everything in Texas is amazing. But super blessed. I watched the services online, and I was really thankful that they were able to come out, and I pray you were ministered to by them. And so here we are, Exodus chapter 5. Let's all stand out of reverence for the Lord. We're going to pick up in verse 22. Is everybody there? All right, awesome, awesome. Let's begin. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Why is it you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. Neither have you delivered your people at all." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for tonight. And I pray that as we get into your word, that God, you would speak to us. God, help me just to have a clear mind right now. God, help me to deliver the very things that you've given me to share. But overall, Lord, I just pray that your word would again allow us to see not only your faithfulness, Lord, as we sang those three different songs, Lord, they all reveal your character. They all reveal who you are and what you've done for us. And we are so thankful that you conquered over all. And it is you that we desire to hear from. So again, we ask that you would be our teacher. Bless this time now, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, I'm going to warn you guys now. The weariness is starting to kick in. I got in last night at 11 o'clock, and so I've been good all day, and then right about like 6:30, I started seeing the words do this on the screen. So if I butcher some words, you guys understand. If there's misspelled words, you guys show some grace. But listen, tonight we are going to try our best to get up to chapter 7, verse 7. But a little recap, as Matt was sharing last week about Moses getting the opportunity to go back to Egypt. Of course, he turned to his father-in-law and was willing to seek some, seek permission to be able to go and check up on his people back in Egypt. And so it's amazing to me that, you know, as we went through that chapter, as we look at what God's will is for Moses, you know, it was crazy to see verse 24 pop out of nowhere, where 1 minute God is instructing Moses to do this great task, and then God turns around and says, "Now I'm going to kill you," right? It was just came out of nowhere, and yet the purpose or the reason being was because Moses neglected to circumcise his son, and yet Zipporah, his wife, stepped up and did that, and of course God spared Moses' life, but also God brought Aaron along Moses' side. And in verses 28 to 31, Moses, as soon as they meet with one another, remember, they're brothers. And as Moses shares with Aaron everything that God not only told him, but the signs and wonders Moses did in front of his brother. And sure enough, listen, they were both to go and tell the children of Israel. So they gather all of the elders of the nation of Israel, and Aaron begins to share with them all the things that God said. They performed the miracles as well. And here was the beauty of it, that God's people believed in what was getting ready to happen. And so not only did they believe the words, but this also would have brought, I believe, Moses and Aaron some, you know, comfort, some excitement. Hey, what God said is coming true. And so I could just imagine the excitement in their heart. Things are going great. God's doing what he said he's going to do. God's people are believing me. And then all of a sudden, as they both appear before Pharaoh in chapter 5, Pharaoh had a different response. Remember that? Pharaoh didn't care about what they said. As a matter of fact, he said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" And so, you know, not knowing God, not caring about God, you know, he did not grant their request. But what ends up happening is he now takes his anger and his frustration out on the people. And so what did he do? He made things harder for them. He took away their straw from them making bricks, and yet he told them they still needed to meet their quota. Even though I'm going to take this portion away, you still have to make the same amount of bricks. You now need to go out and find your own straw. So making the work even harder. And of course, once this happened, this was the very first trial that not only Moses, Aaron, and the children of Israel will experience. But listen, after that first meeting, the children of Israel, listen, they end up going and speaking to Pharaoh. "Hey, why are you treating us this mean? Why are you doing these things to us?" And Pharaoh's response was, "You guys must be idle. If you think you have enough time to go out and worship your God, well, here's the truth. You don't have time because I'm going to make it harder for you." So sure enough, after that meeting, the children of Israel were not too happy with Moses and Aaron. Would you guys understand why? Right? So listen, they leave Pharaoh upset with Moses and Aaron, and then they tell them, "Let God be the judge of you for what's happening to us." And so now we pick up here in verse 22 to 23. And what does Moses do as soon as he gets this feedback from the nation of Israel? Well, Moses turns to the Lord immediately and he starts questioning him. You know, "Why have you sent me here? You know, I did everything you asked me to do, and things have gone from bad to worse." And I just want you to understand this. You know, the request for them to go and worship the Lord was a good request, but yet it increased their burden. It made work harder for them. So more evil has come upon them. And he says, I obeyed, and I even dropped your name. I actually said in your name, and Pharaoh didn't even flinch. He didn't even care about your name. And so what did he do? He made things harder, but yet, "Lord, you haven't come through with your promise. You haven't delivered your people." And so what I find interesting, beloved, is this. Do you realize that just within these two verses is a real picture of what a life of a believer looks like? And what do I mean by that? The moment that you make a commitment to follow the Lord, listen, things may get even harder for you. Things may all of a sudden just start happening in your life when they weren't before. And one of the things that I find interesting is that when that time happens, here's what we need to know, especially if you're a brand new believer. This is what I want you to be able to walk away from this message. When you commit your life to the Lord and walking with Him, God never promised us that our life would be easy. He never once did. The other thing that is important for us to understand is that the reason why things may get harder is because now you are experiencing a real enemy. Satan will do whatever he can to cause you to doubt and to turn away from God. Have you guys experienced that, or is it just me? Okay, I'm thankful for the hands that went up. If you haven't, then it's coming, okay? I'm just letting you know now, it's gonna come. And I'm not saying that to threaten you, but listen, whenever we desire to turn to the Lord, man, the enemy's job right now is to kill and steal. He wants to take away as many people as possible with him because he already knows he lost the battle. And so when we look at this, the believer, listen, the believer's going to experience these things. And look at how the nation of Israel responded. And I want to also include Moses. Because the moment that they hit that first roadblock, immediately the nation of Israel stopped believing when they started believing. The moment Moses and Aaron told them what God was going to do, they were all aboard. First roadblock, now they're upset and mad and they're turning away from the things that they first believed in. And this is what's important for us to understand as well as believers. If we do experience difficulties and trials, listen, this is where you need to fall back on what you know about who God is. And the first thing I want all of us to understand, and we've said this before, God's promises to us is that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Deuteronomy chapter 31, you can find that in verse 6. The second thing that we need to also fall back on is this. If God made a promise, he's not going to go back on it. If he says he's going to do something, beloved, just know that he will do it. But here's the thing. It just may not happen according to your timetable. Let me give you an example. How many of you know that David was anointed to be the next king of Israel in his teens? It could have been anywhere from 10 to 15 years old. Did he become a king immediately, even though this was God's calling in his life? No, it didn't happen till he was 30. And so God used that season to help develop him into that king. So these are a couple of things that I want us to understand. As we walk with the Lord, our life may not be easy. Our life may even get harder. But fall back on what we know, and God is good. Fall back on what we know, that God will keep his promises. And so, you know, when these things came upon Moses, instead of turning away from the Lord, he turned to the Lord. Because he immediately took that and he questioned the Lord. Lord, I did everything you asked. Why is this happening? Now, I don't know if you do this, but I do this. I question the Lord. I've also said, Lord, why? Why would you do this? Or why would you make me go through this? Now, God has the privilege to answer, but he doesn't always. But here in verses now, chapter 6, verses 1 to 5, God will answer. And guess what God will do? God will comfort Moses. Notice this. Let's begin in verse 1 of chapter 6. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage in which they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. So now God goes into comfort mode here, and he's coming to comfort Moses, and notice what he says in verse 1. Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. And it's important to point out that this is nothing new. God had already revealed this to Moses back in chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, and also in chapter 4, verse 21. God was revealing to Moses from the very beginning that it was going to take much more than just one conversation in order for Pharaoh to let his people go. You see, God told Moses that it was his hand that would be stretched out. It was his power that would convince Pharaoh to let his people go. And so the first thing that I see God comforting Moses in is this. Listen, I know you may be questioning. I know you may be doubting. But listen, my plan still stays the same. I'm not changing it. Just because you hit your first roadblock doesn't mean I'm going to rearrange things for you. My plan is my plan. And can I just encourage us tonight, if God says that he has a plan for you, can you understand that his plan, he's looking after your best interest? And just because it may be hard, remember the outcome, that with every trial and every difficulty, God is using them to build your character, to cause us to trust him more. And so, as not only did God tell him these things, my plan isn't changing, but the second way that I see God comforting Moses is this: remember who I am. I am the Lord. We see that in verse 2. Whenever we see the word or the name of God in all caps, the word Lord, please understand that this is speaking of God's personal name, Yahweh. We shared a little bit about it in the past, but just in short, it refers to him being the one and only true God, who is the self-existing one. He is the uncreated creator, as we talked about in the book of Romans. He is the great I am. In other words, he's going to be whatever you need at that moment. He has that power and the ability to do these things. And so, what was God's purpose in telling Moses his name first? To remind him of who his God is. And that's so important, beloved. Because I think many of us, when we're going through difficulty, where is our focus and our attention? It's on what we can see. We look at the problem. We look at the situation. And sometimes we forget how big our God is. But God says, no, remember who I am. And as we look at this, this is what I want us to see. Here is the truth of what God is getting ready to reveal and remind Moses. I am the one. Me, personally, I'm going to do this. So the truth of the matter is this. Even though God is sending Moses, it would be God working in and through Moses to accomplish his will. And this is why it's so important for us, because it's in Scripture, all throughout the Word, and even in this chapter, I want you to notice that God continues to remind Moses of who he is and of his faithfulness. How do we see that in the passage? By going through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What did God say? What did he remind Moses of? This is it. I was the one who appeared before your forefathers, but I appeared to them as Almighty God or God Almighty. In other words, they witnessed God as El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, Almighty God. That's what that word means. So what was God saying? Not only was I their great provider and sustainer, this is how they witnessed me in action in their life. But Moses, you're getting ready to see far greater than them. God's power is going to be revealed more in the life of Moses than it was in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're going to see that all throughout the 10 plagues in the next coming chapters. But this is what God is basically saying. They may have known me, as the Almighty, but you're going to know me for who I really am. And it's amazing to me that when you look at, again, his name, the great I am, do you realize that just in his name, that power and the ability to kind of bring this concept back into our heart, that no matter what you face, he's greater. And I pray that we would hold on to that. You know, just so that you know, you and I have no idea what's going to happen in the next 10 minutes. We have no idea what's going to happen in the next 30 minutes. But the reality is God does. And no matter how difficult, no matter how crazy, no matter how hard it may be, we fall back on what we know, and God is not only in control, but if anything of life issues and things that we go through are that difficult, here's what you fall back on. My God not only knows, but my God's going to see me through it. And so this is again something that is important. Not only did God comfort Moses' heart with this, but he also said this, I have established my covenant with them. What did God want Moses to understand? This is what I want you to know. I've set these things up. I'm the one who has given my word, my covenant, my oath, and what's going to take place. Now, here's what I want us to remember about God. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 16 and 17, the writer tells us two things that will never change about God. The first one is who he is. His character will never change. Hey, here's something I want you to understand. God never wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. Praise the Lord, right? Come on now. If you're married, you understand that really good, right? We love each other, but we're just two different people. And sometimes each of us can wake up on the wrong side of the bed. But that's not God. He doesn't just change his mind. He will be the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The other thing that is important for us to understand is when he makes a covenant, his oath. In other words, his words. He will keep what he says. That you want to rock the world today, be a man or a woman of your word. They'll be all like, what? You actually keep a promise. That's right. I do. Believe me or not, but isn't it, I think we can honestly say people don't trust you for what you say. They trust you because of what you do. And so the reality is that in the book of Hebrews, it says this about the Lord very clearly. These things will never change. And this is what God is wanting Moses to understand. I'm not changing, and I'm definitely not changing what I said. And he goes on to reveal his concern. Not only is my plan not changing, but I see what my people are going through. And I hope and pray that you understand that God sees you and what you're going through. So not only did he hear the cries of his people through the sufferings that they experienced, through the cruel treatment that they had to endure, but God says, it's time for me to accomplish what I've set out to do. When he says, I remembered my covenant, that's what he's saying. It's time for me to accomplish what I've already set out to do. And so let's pick up in verse 6 through 9. Notice what it says here. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know, that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. So now God says to Moses, it's time for you now to go comfort my people. Now that I've shared my heart with you, I want you to go and tell it to the nation of Israel. Verse 6, therefore say to them, say to the children of Israel, remember again who I am, drawing them back to his name. Remember that I am the Lord. And in these short verses, notice with me how many times God told them he would do something. Notice with me how many I wills, is that right? Apostrophe S, whatever. This is what I'm going to do. Not maybe, but God said, I will do this. If you're quick, you counted 7. If you're still counting, I just spoiled it. But there's 7. We're not going to cover all 7, but I want you to see this. I will bring you out of Egypt. Now, when we look at this, what is God wanting them to see? I'm the one who's going to set you free. Free from what? From the slavery, from the forced labor, from the cruel treatment that has come upon you. Again, not maybe. I will do this. He goes on to say, I will rescue you from the bondage. So I will not only save you from slavery, but notice this. I will rescue you. I will save you from being under the control of another nation. Remember, they were God's people, not the Egyptians. So God's saying, not only will I save you, but you're not going to be under the control ever of another nation. This is my promise to you. Again, not maybe, I will do this. The other thing that God says he will do is this, I will redeem you. I will reclaim you. I will reclaim what is mine. And I love this about the Lord because, again, he's allowing them to see that it's not Moses, it's him doing it. As you look at this, this is what I want us to see. The engagement of God personally doing these things. And I love this picture about bringing them back where they rightfully belong. And I want you to understand the depth of this because, again, the beauty of the scriptures is to draw our heart back to the Lord. And I want you just to stop for a moment and think of where you used to be without the Lord. And now that you know the cost that he went through to bring you back into this right relationship with God. Because we should never, ever forget, though our salvation is free, it costs Jesus his blood. So we don't want to take that lightly. And I pray that that would even motivate us as we do walk with the Lord, that we would not just casually walk with him, but that we would literally take our walk seriously, understanding and knowing the depth of what Jesus did in order for us to be brought back into this right relationship with the Lord. The Lord said very clearly, tell my people, I'm the one that will redeem them. He went on to say, I will take you as my people. And listen, he's not doing this by force, but the word take here has several different meanings in the Greek language. To obtain, to collect, or to select. So in other words, what is God wanting his people to see? I'm the one that selected you. I'm the one that has chosen you. And because I chose you to be my people, this is my commitment to you. I will be your God. And so not only did the Lord say, I will do this, again, this is his promise. He went on to say, I will bring you into a land. And this is a promise again that he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it goes along the generations. You know, we were just, again, in Israel. And one of the things that we, all of us as a group, noticed as we were visiting around, you know, the Sea of Galilee, and because it was raining there as well, everybody, I think, was amazed at how green it was in Israel. But when we got to the Dead Sea, listen, it looked like Vegas. Browner than brown, okay? It was dry. It was rocks. I mean, we saw a lot of rocks, but yeah, I think you get the point. But when we were driving around Jerusalem, there were so many different fields, different fruit trees, different figs, pomegranate, apples, bananas. There were several different vineyards, and everything was so beautiful and green that I could just imagine, as the Lord was describing, when I bring you out of Egypt, I'm going to bring you to a place that's flowing with milk and honey, the beauty of it. And again, this wasn't a maybe. God said, I will do this. And so not only was it green and beautiful, especially the things that we saw, but God's promise to them after being in bondage for so long, that picture, that imagery was making it come to life. But here's the thing that I want us to walk away with. This is a truth that I pray will make sense. And if it doesn't, remember, I'm working off of a few hours of sleep. But this is what I pray that we would hold on to with this section of all God saying of who his name is and all of the I wills. Notice this, God's I am and all of his I wills are enough to overcome any difficulties or trials we will ever face. Hold on to that. His name and what he will do is far greater than anything we will ever experience. And so, as God was wanting to comfort now his children, notice verse 9. Moses shared these things with them, and yet it says that they did not take heed, that they didn't listen, that they now would not believe in what Moses was saying. And the reason being is because of what they were experiencing, the difficulty, the hard labor, all of that stuff that was going on. And I'm pretty sure if we were honest, we would look at Moses and go, yeah, whatever. It had happened the first time. But here's the truth. God sent him to bring comfort. And I want you to understand how important this is in the body of Christ. Because as followers, this is my heart's desire, that when we hear of difficulty and tragedy, that we too would step up to be there to encourage others, to help other people remember who our God is. I don't know if I shared this with you, and if I have, just act like you've never heard it and say amen, okay? But when I was in the Philippines, there was another brother in the Lord that for the first several years of us being there, this brother and I clashed, I mean big time. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I was the more spiritual one, because there were a couple times when I told him, why don't we go outside this fence and let's handle this the way that we did back in the old days. So I was no saint, but we clashed. And there was a season where, as a missionary, he lost all of his support. He had absolutely no money. And so he needed to go back to the States and work. He got sick, had a hospital bill, he had no money to get back home. But yet he never said anything. We found out through other people. And this broke my heart because, again, if we're family, regardless, and it's just like, listen, it's just like your own immediate family. I mean, if we're all honest, we don't always get along with our siblings. I know one of my siblings is adopted. I know. I say that all the time. I won't tell you which one. But we just don't get along. As a matter of fact, I got a couple of scars on the back of my head from the Aquanet that she threw at my head. This is how we acted. This is how we went at each other. But as the body of Christ, listen, it should never be that we find out that one of our members, one of our family here is hurting, and we find out from somebody on the outside. Because if we're family, then we should be here for each other. We should help each other. And I'm not saying that it always has to be financially. What I'm saying is we need to be here praying for each other. Your presence, whatever we can give, we give. Why? Because we're family. And this is what I pray that we would see through all of this. Moses was sent to bring encouragement and comfort, and yet they didn't even care about what he said. God help us. That if God ever brings somebody along our side, that we would forget about what we see and fall back on what we know. And so, sad to say, in verse 9, they didn't take heed. So what happens? Well, let's pick up in verse 10 to 13. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Go in, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the children of Israel go out of his land." And Moses spoke before the Lord, saying, "The children of Israel have not heeded me. How then shall Pharaoh heed me? For I am of uncircumcised lips." Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and gave them a command for the children of Israel and for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And so in this next section, God now tells Moses, it's time for you to go talk to Pharaoh. You've done what I've asked. You talked to my people. Now it's time for you to go talk to Pharaoh. And in verse 10, he says, this is interesting, "Go in," and then he says, "Tell him." No more asking. You tell him that it's time for him to let my people go. Remember the first time? He said, "Please." Now God's saying, ain't no more please. You go in and you tell him what I've said. And of course, can you imagine the look on Moses' face after hearing the Lord say that? I'm pretty sure we can tell by his response that he wasn't feeling it. Like, I don't know about this. I don't know, Lord. You know, I'm not really excited about doing what you asked me to do. Have you ever been there? God told you to go do something and you're like, I'm not feeling it, Lord. I don't know if I should do this. But listen, what was Moses' response? I don't get this, but yet, this is my concern. And I love this dialogue because this is a real dialogue. This is something that we need to be real with the Lord as well. And he tells, you know, the Lord, if your own people don't believe me, how will Pharaoh? How will he listen to me? I don't get it. And then he goes on to say, "For I am of uncircumcised lips." What does this mean? What was Moses trying to tell the Lord? Well, the word uncircumcised also takes on the meaning of unskilled or not being eloquent. Now, Moses goes back to his very first excuse that he ever gave God in the beginning. "I don't know how to talk well. I stutter. I have a problem. I don't always get the words out correctly." I can relate. But here's what I want us to see. What was Moses basically telling God? "I'm not the right person to do this. I'm pretty sure that there's other people who speak a lot better than me that can do the job better. And I want you to notice this. This is what I love about the Lord. Because God doesn't even entertain his answer. He doesn't even say anything about it. But in verse 13, God moves on. He moves forward to tell both Moses and Aaron what he wants them to do. And what was their task? What was their calling? Listen carefully. To lead his people out of Egypt. I want you to hang on to this. Put this on the side because I'm going to address this in the personal application. But I know what you're thinking. How in the heck are we going to get to verse or chapter 7? You're still in chapter 6. Well, listen. Verse 14 to verse 27 is a genealogy. Now, I'm going to spare you from reading all those names because I would butcher all of them. I would then say, I'm of uncircumcised lips, okay? But listen, what is the purpose of this genealogy? It was to show that Moses and Aaron were the proper representatives for the Lord, that they belonged to the right family lineage, the right tribe. So you can go back and trace it all, but for the sake of us, we're going to pick up in verse 28 now. Notice what it says here, and it came to pass on the day the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I am the Lord, again, reminding him of who he is. Speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say to you. But Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh heed me? So as we pick up here, again, in verse 28 to verse 30, this is the second time that we see Moses make an excuse of him not being able to speak properly. And again, if your own people won't listen, how will Pharaoh listen? And I want us to see this because I think this is a mistake that many of us make as we walk with the Lord. And what is it? Moses' eyes were on him and not the Lord. I believe many times that we too can make the same mistake in forgetting how powerful our God is. I think many times we make the mistake of forgetting that when God chose the disciples, they weren't the brightest bunch. I want us to understand and see that when God is the one who's calling you to do something, if God is, you know, giving you a specific task, if he's sending you to do something, then God is the one who's going to enable you to do it. God will give you the ability to do all he's asking you. And I pray that you would understand this because I think many of us here sometimes can look within and go, there's no way that God can use a person like me. And I want you to know that that is a lie from the pit of hell. God has given every single one of us a gift to use. And all his desire is that if you use it, when you use it, remember, it's him working in you and through you to accomplish it. And so don't make the same mistake as Moses. Take your eyes off of you. And if God is asking you to do something, then do your best to walk in obedience to it because we're going to see the outcome of this when you do. When we walk through all of the different plagues and we watch how Moses and Aaron walk in obedience, it's God doing the work. God gets the glory and his people are freed. But the reality is this, Moses again makes an excuse. Now, let's pick up chapter 7, verses 1 to 7. So the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. Then Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded them, so they did. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron was 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. So we're going to stop right here, but this is what I want to share with you. Even though Moses, again, made this excuse a second time, notice, I want you to see this. I love this because it shows God's grace and his patience with Moses. And I believe this is important to point out because God is going to be gracious and patient with us. You know, we are going to, let me put it this way. As we walk with the Lord, be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That God is the one who began a work in you. God is not going to get fed up with you and say, that's it, I'm done. He will be faithful to work in our life. It's us that at times are the ones that are unfaithful. We are the ones that turn away from God. It's not God turning away from us. We do that. And if we can understand that God not only will continue to pour out his favor upon us, but his patience, his endurance, his long-suffering. Again, whatever it is that God may be calling you or whatever task he's asking of you, beloved, we need to remember that God will do the work in and through us. Take our eyes off of us because it's not about us. It's about bringing God glory. And the reality is that whatever calling it is, it's meant to bring people to see in Jesus. You know, the greatest accomplishment that we could have as we walk with Jesus is that people see him and not us. That's the greatest. And that's, I pray, what our desire will be. That it won't be about what we do, but what God allows us to do. Because it is a privilege to serve him. It's a privilege to be a blessing to other people. And whether you agree with this or not, the scripture is very clear that it is more of a blessing to give than to receive. And so we should never, ever forget that part about God. If we can remember this, if God is going to be gracious and patient with us, then as a family, we need to be gracious and patient with one another. That's God's desire for our lives. And so, whatever capacity that God is using us, remember, he is always greater. One of the things that I pray we would do is be faithful in what he's asking us to do. Because if you do focus on your weaknesses and on who you are, can I just share this with you from my heart to you? You will miss out on being used by the Lord. I don't want us to miss those opportunities that God gives us. So what does God do? Not only does he show his grace and his patience, but God went on to instruct Moses and Aaron about their role, about the task that he was asking of them. Notice with me, he said to Moses, you will seem like God to Pharaoh. Not you are God, like. Don't miss that word. Okay? When Pharaoh looks at you, he's going to look at you as if you're God. What is Aaron's role? Aaron will be kind of your prophet. He will speak on your behalf. But the reality is, notice what he says. I'm going to speak to you, Moses. And because you have a stuttering problem, then you're going to speak to Aaron. And then Aaron will go and speak to Pharaoh. That's the role. That's how this ministry is going to work. God laid it out very clearly. And once again, it's important for us to see God's message didn't change. Pharaoh, you need to let my people go. And so, verse 3, what does God go on to tell Moses? What exactly will happen? He says, I'm the one that will harden Pharaoh's heart. But we have to remember, listen carefully, it was Pharaoh who first hardened his heart toward God. How did he do that? By not listening and not believing that God is the one and only true God. Pharaoh was the one who hardened his heart first. And so God will use his rebellion in order for him to accomplish his will. And we're going to see that later on. God's hand is going to go out. It's going to destroy every single one of the gods that the Egyptians worshipped. And by the end of the 10th plague, Pharaoh will let God's people go. And so they will also discover that he is the one and only true God. And so God lays it out for Moses and Aaron, what their role is, how this ministry is going to work, what their calling is. And now in verse 6, Moses and Aaron, this is a great testimony, did exactly what the Lord said. And again, this is an awesome testimony because they walked in obedience. And can I just encourage us tonight that this is what God desires of us? And so what is our takeaway for tonight? What is the personal kind of application that I want us to see? I forgot to write it down, so I'm going to ask him to put up the slide. What did I put? Next slide. Okay, maybe there's not a next slide. Is there not? Okay, let me try and remember. Okay. Okay, there it is. Personal application. Here we go. If you're going through difficulties, stay the course. And what do I mean by that? Remember that as we walk with the Lord, as we commit, there will be roadblocks. There will be challenges in your life. And those difficulties and those trials is what the enemy wants to use to pull you away. And what I mean by stay the course is stay faithful to God. No matter how bad things may get. And I want us to understand and remember that no matter what we face here on this earth, it will not compare to the sweet reward we will have to be with God for all eternity. Peter said it best, and I believe it's in 1 Peter, that though we may go through various difficulties here on this earth, it will not compare to the beauty that we have in our reward yet to come. When you are going through difficulties, can I encourage you with this? You're doing something right. Because if you didn't experience those difficulties, what that also can kind of translate into, that you're no threat to the enemy. Now, I'm not saying that every single one of our lives needs to go through madness, but I am saying this. You want to know what the enemy's greatest threat is? A heart that is committed to walking with God. And when you make that commitment, he will do whatever he can to keep you from walking with the Lord. Take your eyes off of your circumstance. Take your eyes off of you and put them where they rightfully belong. And that's on who your God is. Stay the course. The next encouragement. Oh, where'd it go? Oh, why you leave me? Let's put it back up. There you go. When it comes to our own personal calling, remember, it's not about you. And it's not about me. It's about bringing God glory. God uses, and this is not a put down, but God will use the foolish things to confine the wise. God will use ordinary people to bring down those who think they're somebody. And it is amazing to me that when you look at the scriptures And even when it came to Peter and some of the other fishermen that were Jesus' disciples, even as they stood before the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they marveled at how much they knew about the scriptures, but they came back to this realization, it was because they had been with Jesus. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is amazing to see who God will use. If you want to hear of some people who were just messed up, pick up the book Harvest in our bookstore and read about all of the different Calvary pastors that are mega churches today, where these guys came from, what these guys were involved in. And again, I'm pretty sure if we were living in the 60s and watching this whole Jesus movement happen, I'm pretty sure there were a lot of people going, what in the heck are these hippies doing? And yet, look at how powerfully God used them. Beloved, I hope and pray that you would realize tonight, don't be discouraged. If you're going through difficulty, remember who your God is. If you're struggling, remember you have family. If things are in your life right now, it just seems so chaotic. Remember that God never breaks a promise. And I hope and pray that we would understand and know that, again, God never promised that our life would be easy. But he did promise he would walk with us through anything. Hang on to that. And I pray that God will continue to show us more and more of his beauty as we go through this book. And so, worship team, go ahead and come forward. Father, I want to thank you so much for this time. I want to thank you for just helping us see your faithfulness tonight. From your name, from the fact that you never change, Lord, that you stay the same, and you will always keep your promise. And tonight, as your children, we pray, God, help us. I would even say, God, forgive us in those times that we do doubt. God, would you forgive us when those times when we focus more on what we can see and forget how powerful you are. God, I pray that tonight we would have the same testimony as Moses and Aaron as they walked with you, as they walked in obedience. So Lord, take our hearts and continue that perfect work that you began in us. God, we are in need of you. We love you. And I just want to, again, thank you for your grace, for your patience, and for your mercy. May you help us, Lord, each and every day to walk with you and not to turn away from you. So Lord, use this time to continue to minister to our hearts. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.